Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let's read verse 13. This will be our text this morning. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. When God calls a sinner to himself, when God calls a sinner to his gospel, the gospel of substitution, when God opens a sinner's eyes to what they are currently under, the lies of religion, the works of religion, when God calls a sinner to the substitution of Christ, his work, not ours. This great revelation, this great calling. When God does that, it is honestly amazing to me. It's amazing to me. Every time that God lays hold of a sinner and brings that sinner to himself and brings that sinner to his gospel and brings that sinner to his people, that is amazing to me. I don't know why. I sometimes feel shocked by it. I believe it's because I have firsthand experience on how much this flesh does not want for that to happen. The natural flesh of every man and woman is so uninterested in the things of God. So uninterested in the worship of God. God alone. We gather here to bow the knee before God alone. We're not here for any other reason. We're not here for a program. We're not here for anything but to gather and worship God alone. And the flesh is so uninterested in that. So when any person is drawn to the gospel and desires it, not just feels like they need to go because you need to go. Everybody knows you need to go. Now, you don't want to go stand before God, do you? No? Well, I better go to church. Not for that reason, but because they want it. I mean, they want it. Well, I have to go. No, I want to go. When God produces that, it is so amazing. When a person needs the gospel, it's so amazing. That is a miracle of divine power. Absolute divine power. It's something that I really rejoice in and thank God for. I can't remember who it was for certain who said this. I believe it was John Newton. Some of you may know. But one of the elders in the church came up to him and said, "Did you hear that God saved this person who was completely uninterested in the gospel, just a wicked, sinful, wretched man?" He said, "Did you hear God saved that man?" John Newton said, "Did he really?" Isn't that something? That's wonderful. That elder said, "I will never despair of anybody since God saved him." John Newton said, "Dear brother, I'll never despair of anybody since God saved me. Never. Never. I am honestly amazed, and I rejoice in, I'm so thankful to the Lord for overruling my flesh. I'm so thankful for that. So glad he did that. I am so glad he called me to himself, called me to this gospel, gave me a need for it. I mean, a need for him for His Word, for His people, for His worship. I thank God for that. And I thank God for doing the same thing for you. I thank Him for doing the exact same thing for you. Paul said in verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." The word "received" is in that verse two times. They are not the same original Greek word. The first one means when it came to you, when you heard with the ears. The second one means you laid hold of it, you took it. Verse 13 says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you heard with the ear the word of God, which you heard of us, you laid hold of it. You took it. Not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." It's a great blessing when God reveals this to sinners. And they lay hold of this right here. Look with me, if you would, at 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter 1, verse 20 says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." Not one verse of Scripture came from the heart of a man. Not one verse of Scripture. Verse 21 says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God," those who were set apart, those men were sanctified for holy use, "holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Every word in this book has come directly from the heart and the mind and the mouth of our Almighty God. Every single word. The calling of a true preacher, the desire of a true preacher, the goal. This is the goal. One man said, "When you preach, preach for a verdict." The Apostle Paul said, "I'm not as one that beats the air. I'm not shadow boxing." And the goal of every true sent preacher is to do nothing more than repeat His word in a clear way where people can understand what He's saying. Here's the goal of the message. We're going to read the verse. And we are going to, by God's grace and Spirit, rightly divide it, as the Scripture says, and understand the meaning of the verse and hear what God has to say. We are here right now to declare. We're just here to announce. We're here to repeat, set forth His word. This is my greatest desire in preaching. I have, in a minute, I'll tell you my greatest fear. This is my greatest desire. My greatest desire is that the Lord will remove me from the equation. This is my goal. It's His glory and His honor and His praise, that everybody would just be standing here gazing up into heaven as He ascended up. Everybody was, and those two angels said, "Why are you standing here gazing up into heaven?" That's the whole goal. If God would completely remove me, this flesh can be such a hindrance. This is what I beg for every time before I stand up. I do not want to come in between you and the Word of God. If come the end of a message, we all can say that we heard Him, as long as He is in everybody's minds. Everybody's just thinking on Him, glorying in Him, rejoicing in Him, and rejoicing in His Word, rejoicing in His mercy, rejoicing in His grace, that He would just show kindness to sinners like us. If we are rejoicing in what He has written in this Word, whatever it is, I give thanks for it. I give complete thanks for it. That's all I want. Go with me, if you would, back to our text, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians 2. Verse 13 says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." When you receive the word of God, which you heard. You heard. It came into your ear and you heard. You heard it with the heart. Is this not our greatest desire? This is my greatest desire for you. This is my greatest desire for myself. Is that God might cause us to hear His word with the heart. You know this experience. You know it well. We're here because we want to be here. We're here because we glory in our Lord and we thank our Lord and we bow to our Lord. We're here to praise Him and honor Him and worship Him. And we sit down and we get ready and the words start coming in and they're going in. And all of a sudden it's kind of doing this. Nothing's happening and nothing. And we're going, yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. I agree with that. And all of a sudden God goes, oh, thank God. Paul said, this is why I give thanks. Not because you were willing to stay there in the pew and not be a distraction and hear the word. He said, because you heard it. You heard it. Oh, you heard it with the heart. Just like that woman, Lydia. She sat there by the riverside listening to Paul preach the word of God. He just said, this is what God says. Preaching it to all the women standing there. But God says the Lord opened her heart. Oh, He opened her heart and she heard it with the heart. Lord, let this be our prayer today and every time we meet, but especially today. We might not have tomorrow. April the 16th may not come. Right now, in just a minute and tonight, let us hear with the heart. Let us hear with the heart. Lord, please open our hearts. All right, now this is one of the greatest fears that I have in preaching. I fear this for myself. I fear it for anyone else. It's a repeat of what I just said. It's that any of us would only hear this message with the ear. I don't want to go meet God that way. Oh, I don't want to go meet God that way. Hearing the word of a man. Listening to the teaching and the instruction of a man. You hear it. Well, that's what this man says. Well, that's what that man says. You agree with some of it. You disagree with some of it. May God cause us to hear and receive this word, not as the word of men, but as in is in truth the word of God. This is why it's so important that we, as much as possible, declare the word of God. See it with our own two eyes. Quote it. And may God cause us to hear it with the heart. May He speak to us through the man. We need the man. It's His means that He has chosen to use to speak to His people through the preaching. But may God cause us to only hear it through the man and hear Him, hear His word. Look with me, if you would, at Acts chapter 3. The heading at the top of my page says, Peter and John heal a lame man. This lame man was sitting at the gate of the temple begging for money. Verse 6 says, Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, that's the very thing that Paul is rejoicing over in our text. That lame man did not leap up and run off to go do all the things that he'd been dreaming of for all those years. I got a lot of things on my bucket list, and I got to start scratching them off. He leaped up. And he entered straight into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now watch verse 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. He was so thankful for those two men, so glad for the message that came out of their mouth. He was hugging on them. Verse 11 says, As he which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? A man cannot do these things. This did not take place through the word of a man. God did this. Peter said, Why are you looking on us? God did this. That's how it is in the preaching of the gospel. If a sinner is going to truly hear, if they're ever going to hear the word of God and lay hold of it with the heart, then God himself is going to have to effectually work on the heart of that sinner. How can I say these things in such a way that convinces people of it? How can I say these things clearly enough in such a way that absolutely convinces people of it? I can't. I cannot. No man can. No man can. God can take a man who is so eloquent and open no one's eyes through him. God can take a man who can't hardly put a sentence together and slay everybody if he wants to. It is God. My calling is not to convince people of the Word of God. My calling is to declare the Word of God. All the convincing is in His hands. All of it. Paul said, that's why I rejoice so much every time I see it. And I say the same thing. That's why I rejoice so much. I never know. Paul never knew. No man ever knows when God is going to convince. Or who God is going to convince. Usually it's not the person you think it is. Usually it's not. Surely not him. That's usually who God calls. We just keep preaching His Word. We just keep preaching His Word. Keep preaching His Word. And then after that, we stand back. Get out of the way. Just let me get out of the way and watch the salvation of the Lord. Go with me, if you would, to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 13 says, For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. When God effectually works, when God moves on a sinner, when a sinner hears with the heart the Word of God, the voice of God, when God speaks, it produces a result. It produces a result. Sinners both will, all of a sudden there's a will in there that was not there before. Sinners will and sinners do His good pleasure. What is His good pleasure? What's His will? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear Him. Hear Him. Not as the word of man, as the word of God Almighty. Read the words of Jesus Christ of Nazareth and hear God Almighty. Bow to Him. Believe on Him. Paul said, I rejoice every time I see it happen. Every time. I give thanks to God without ceasing. Every time I see it. And go with me back to 1 Thessalonians 1. This time look at chapter 1. Almost finished. Verse 2, he said, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. He said, we rejoice because you heard the word. You received it by the power of the Holy Ghost, and you became believers and hearers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. You came to Him. You came to Him. Not Him plus this book that so-and-so wrote. That's important. That's Paul said, I rejoice without ceasing every time I see man throw away his books and cling to Christ. I rejoice every time. Not Him plus the old doctrines that I've carried over from my tradition and my religion. Him alone. His Word alone. And let me show you one more thing in our text, all right? Chapter 2, verse 13. There are two words in this verse that are italicized. The word it and the word as. Those were added by the translators. They are good additions. If we take them out for just one second, we'll see another meaning in this verse. Verse 13 says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received not the word of men. As soon as you truly heard the word of God, that was it. That's it. The word of man meant nothing to you after that. Nothing. Our Lord said, my sheep hear my voice, for they know my voice. And a stranger will they not follow. They will not do it. Every single one of them. He'll call every single one of them. They'll hear His voice and His voice only. And a stranger they will not follow. Not only will God's people not just receive the words as the word of men, but the word of God, they won't receive the words of men. The only way that they'll say that man is telling me the truth is if he is quoting God, quoting Christ. That's the only way. As soon as he veers from that, I don't know. Give us the word of God alone. Let God be true and every man a liar. Every man. Man says there are many ways to salvation. Everybody believes that. I heard something yesterday. Everybody believes that. God says there's one. There's one. I am the way. Come unto me. I'll give you rest. Man says this flesh needs to be cleaned up. God says it has to die. The wages of sin is death. I'll by no means clear the guilty. Man says, by works are you saved. God says, by blood are you saved. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. Who do we believe? Who do we receive as truth? Has God made His word effectual in us? That's the question. Paul said, I thank God without ceasing because He's caused you to say God is true. Everything else is a lie. I need Him. I need His truth. I need His blood. I need His word. I need His people. I need His worship. His apostles, I'm not going to turn there. We were going to close by, I was going to show you this verse. I'll tell it to you. He asked His apostles, from that time, many of His disciples walked away and followed Him no more. They listened to Him and they listened to Him and then they said, I don't know. And He turned to His apostles and He said, will you also go away? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. And we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ. And that's where we leave it. All right. You're dismissed.